this all is well. All is well. We have heard the message alone. All is well.
There is a place, perfect rest.
Oh, yeah. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Let's stand. Yes, all is well. All is well. We have heard the message alone. All is well.
There is a place of perfect rest behind.
Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. I say, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Once again, we've come to have church. We just have camp meeting around here all the time. We can't help it. It's just the way it is. Aren't you glad that you're part of what God's doing in the world today? Amen. He is so good to us. So wonderful and so kind, and I love him so much, and I know you do too. Why don't you turn around, shake hands with somebody, and say this: God ain't nothing but good. I mean that with all of my heart. God ain't nothing but good, boy. This monitor right here, we still can't hear through this monitor right here. If you fix that for us. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that chorus together once again. All is well, church. The devil wouldn't have you to believe that, but in God's mind, we are a finished product. In God's mind, the banquet table's done set with your name at the plate. You've got a card with your name on it sitting in front of the plate. Are you glad about it tonight? Does it make you want to go? Does it make you want to be there? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, let's give him a real good hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Yes, all is well.
Rest behind the inner veil.
So rest, little bride, rest for all is well.
There's a story in the Bible of Elisha, the Shunammite woman and her son.
Oh, yes, it is.
The woman found favor with God. Gave her a son. While working in the field, the little boy had died, but the woman's faith never failed. Even in She testified
about it.
That all
she testified
is well.
About it. Still fighting the greatest battle ever fought, but you're winning by the grace of God. We must have the faith, Abraham, knowing God's word never fails. If we'll trust in Him, we're gonna find all His way.
God bless you. We'll let you be seated tonight for just a little bit while we look at our prayer request. Brother Lindsay McGrady is here in the service with us tonight. Brother Lindsay, I wish you would get ready to lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests, wherever you would be, if you want to make your way onto the platform. Sister Michelle Swafford says to please remember her in prayer, as she'd been having clusters of migraine headaches. We'll remember her as we pray. Also, she has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. Victoria Thomas called to request prayer for the families of her great uncles named Roy and Richard Hansen. They both passed away within a week of each other from cancer. Please pray for God's comfort and strength during this time of sorrow. So we certainly want to pray for that family. The Lord would be mindful of them. Pray for the family of West Palm Beach, Florida, who live in West Palm Beach, Florida, has several needs for healing in their family life. So let's just commit those folks unto the Lord. Brother Jerry Glenn had surgery today. Everything went well. He had to have two pints of blood. Will be in the intensive care unit for a few days. He's not able to have visitors at this time. Please pray for a complete recovery. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Jerry Glenn, that the Lord will just give him a real speedy recovery. Appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Want to continue to pray for Brother Bert Gravely. He wanted to be in the service tonight, but was not able, sick in body. Also pray for Sister Barbara Gravely for strength in her body. The Lord will just comfort those folks and bring peace to their life. Want to pray for Sister Naomi Daly, not able to be in the service tonight. Brother Frank Williams was scheduled for eye surgery, but the doctors found an irregular heart rate, AFib. This is very serious, and he requests prayer, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Frank, Sister Jackie, that the Lord would just be with that family. Please remember our oldest daughter, Kelly, in prayer. She's going through some very hard times and needs a touch from the Lord. Brother Gary, Sister Lona, send that in, so let's remember that tonight. Here's an unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. So we'll commit that to the Lord. And Brother Rudy, Sister Nina Scott says to please pray for our friend Mary Perry. She is battling cancer, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We're a needy people, but we're serving a great Savior. He's got a checkbook that's just got, he's full of checks. It's just full of them. And we just want to believe Him for His word, don't we? Amen? Could we stand together? God bless you tonight. So glad to have Brother Lindsay with us in the service. Certainly glad to have you here, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Let's just all bow our hearts and believe the Lord for the supernatural, because He is still a supernatural God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight, Lord, giving glory, honor, and praise to You for all that You've done for us, Lord, all that You're doing, all that You will do, dear Lord. And God, we stand here tonight, dear Lord, in this service in need of You, dear Lord, in need of You to move and to minister, dear Lord. We've heard numerous requests that have been spoken from various places across the country, around the world, dear Lord, represented here by spoken word, represented here also by uplifted hand. And God, You're aware of everything. We know the Scripture tells us that You, that our Heavenly Father knoweth what things we have need of. And Lord, we just come to You tonight, Lord, believe in Your word, believe in the promises You've made, dear Lord, to heal these that are sick, heal these that have had surgery, Lord, these that are in need tonight, dear God. We know that miracles are on their way, dear Lord. You paid the price, nothing else that is necessary, but our faith mixed with Your word produces results, Lord, and we thank You for that tonight, dear Lord. Just move and minister here in this service, dear Lord. Have Your way. Speak to our hearts, Lord, that our souls may be fed upon Your word. We need You tonight, dear Lord, and we give the glory, the honor, the praise to You for hearing and answering prayer. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming the service, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Lindsay and Sister Sharon McGrady, as I said already, that's Brother Seth's parents. They're, of course, listening here with us tonight. Also, Brother Avery Rourke and wife, they're visiting from North Carolina. Raise your hand way back there in the back, over here on the right side. Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. We're certainly glad to have you folks with us tonight. Most of all, we're glad for the presence of the Lord. If He'll come, it don't matter who's here, it don't matter who ain't here. If He'll show up, that's what we're looking for, isn't it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus tonight, if you will. God is good all the time. And all the time. Yes, He is. Well, I said my God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. God is good, yes He is, He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over, no greater friend you'll find. He's not good once in a while, He's good all the time. Mary, I wonder if you could lead us in that chorus that you sung here on Sunday morning. Everybody just falling in love with that little song that you sang. Jesus, the greatest name, the sweetest name, the best name. Sing that for us. Would you do that? We'll hit. It's on the board. He just loves for me to surprise him like that. He can't help it. He just loves it. Praise the Lord. And we have a couple of specials tonight. Hannah Bradner, she'll come on the platform. Also, Sister Sarah, if you come on the platform, be ready to sing. We'll go right on into the service. Church, I don't know about you, but this is the greatest time of my life to get to be in the house of the Lord. Everything else out here, just everything we do in this old world, it's time we have to invest in our jobs and different things, but this is the best time. This is the best time to hear the good word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Over the weekend, we heard the good word of God. We heard the good word of God. Do you believe that? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lead us to that course, Brother Harry, if you would.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Veil tore before you, you silenced the most of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name. My King, what a powerful name it is. Oh, there's nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
just have a little testimony before I sing about this song. 3 years ago at this time, I was in a hospital bed with no hope of living. And the doctors told me I would never walk again, I would never sing again, I would never have normal life if I lived. And in that time, it was so hard to see how God's hand was still on me, you know. It was really hard, and the Lord just taught me through that to trust him. And this song is just called I Trust You, Lord. I wrote it about 6 months ago, and it's just my prayer to the Lord. So I pray you guys are blessed by it.
Stepping blindly into the unknown. This is where you're leading, but I just don't understand how a trial like this could be part of your perfect plan. Wherever you lead me, I will go. I trust you, Lord. Have your will in my life. Take what's wrong and make it right. More than I can see, I trust you, Lord. In the midst of pain, it's hard to see you near. I feel alone and my heart starts to hasn't been a step that I have taken on my own. You're holding me, and you're the keeper of the storm. I'm not a because he died so we could live. Now I'm dying to myself. Lord, let your will be done. I surrender all I have to you. Giving all my heart to you. Withholding nothing from you. Wherever you lead me, I will go. I trust you, Lord. have your will in my life. Take what's wrong and make it perfect in your eyes. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I trust you, Lord. It isn't easy walking down this road, but I trust you, Fact is, you're caught in a battle, and you feel like you're losing the war. The fact is, it's raged on for so long that your steps have grown weary and sore. Oh, but that's just the facts of the matter, 'cause the truth has not left you behind. When the facts have you bound up in sorrow, the truth sets you free every time. Oh, the truth is that you're not forsaken. Should you throw up your hands and just give in? And in fact, you have said there's no reason to keep fighting when you'll never win. Oh, but that's not the end of the story, 'cause the truth says you shall overcome. When the fact says you're almost defeated, the truth says you've already won. Oh, the truth is that you're not forsaken.
The Lord. I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 27, verse 27. Did I hear Brother Lindsay McGrady praying a while ago?
Yes.
Raise your hand, Brother Lindsay. I'm not going to make you preach, buddy. God bless you. Brother Avery with you, too? God bless you, Brother Avery. Good to see y'all. God bless y'all. Me and Brother Darrell sitting back talking about the word and stuff. And I said, who is that praying? He said, that's Brother Lindsay. I said, really? You know how preachers are. They sneak in generally after church starts, or they don't want to have to preach that night. Guilty. I can. Sorry, nice to have y'all with us in service. Appreciate it. Let's continue with the book of Acts, shall we? Lord willing, in a couple of weeks from tonight, I think August the 16th, Brother Jason Watkins and his wife is going to be with us on Wednesday night. Also, Brother Crosby and his wife from over in England. So he's going to be speaking for us. We'll see how good you folks can do with the Queen's English. Amen. Amen. Looking for a special time in the Lord. Be 2 weeks from tonight. Also remember the meetings going on in Ruth this week. Brother Tim's preaching tonight. Brother Craig Brewer tomorrow night. Brother Tim again on Friday night. Brother Andrew getting married, Lord willing, on Saturday. So I want to remember all these things that's going on. Wonderful things before us, aren't they?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Acts chapter 27, verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful again that we could be allowed this privilege, Lord Jesus, to come together with your children. Father, we thank you for the blessed word of God. How we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you inspired Luke to write these things. To us, it's just not taking up space in the pages of Holy Writ. But Lord, there's a reason for it to be written there. What a benefit this has been to us in the last several weeks. Have we looked at this, Lord? And yet, we've not seen any blind that's had their eyes open. We've not seen any lame that's walked. We've not seen any cancers healed in these few chapters, Lord. But yet, we've seen your hand on display in an everyday walk, which is really, Lord, where we need it in our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray once again tonight that you'd help us. You see our needs as we've gathered together, Father. We pray that you just speak to us once again. Lord, you see these prayer cloths that I hold in my hand. We know, Father, it's from this very same book, the book of Acts, that they took cloths from the bodies of the Apostle Paul. Lord, and through the apostolic age, they did this. Lord, people with confidence and have faith to believe that you're the same. Lord, you see this handkerchief, Lord, of this need. Father, this prayer cloth for Brother Gary Weintraut in Kentucky, his heart situation, this other kidney failure, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. While your word is being preached and the anointing is going forth, may the supernatural hand of God, I pray, go with it, Lord. Not only these, but other needs that are here tonight. We expect it, Lord, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We commit the hearing of the word, the preaching of the word into your great hands tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I think it's easy in our minds to think sometimes that the book of Acts is such phenomenal displays of the power of God that these apostles didn't fight ordinary battles and go through ordinary strains of life the way we do it. I think we've done a terrible, terrible wrong by bleaching out these holy people of God that whose lives are full of, in the scripture. We've made them beyond human. We've made them beyond what God really intended. I believe that we've stripped from them the humanity that God left them with after the new birth. You can see why Satan would want us to do this. He would want us to think that we are so far beneath what God intended for the church to be. constantly looking before us of some sort of set standard by ideology of man, and then we're never making the mark, so you're always falling short, never acknowledging what God is doing and recognizing the work that He's done in our lives. But the more we come right down to it and study the lives of the prophets and the lives of these apostles in the book of Acts and also in the epistles of the New Testament, the more we see that they are men and women just like us. Men and women with problems and situations in their lives. They had all kinds of things. Certainly as we've been looking at this and this ship thing that's going on for several weeks now. And to see how that God so inspired Luke to spend so much time in writing something that might seem trivial. What we find tonight is this is the 14th night. Now, they've been out in this ship, Heraklion it's called. They've been out in this ship. It's been turning and tossing, and the wind has been blowing up and down and up and down. And we see a man of God, a great man of God, one of the greatest men that ever lived upon the face of the earth. And yet, they have been in this storm for 2 weeks now. The men on this ship, the mariners, is about 276 people that are on board this ship. They have eaten sporadically. They have drank sporadically. They're getting weak. They're getting all tore up. They think death is laying right before them. And here it is, the 14th night. And the man of God that God had given the word to be able to avoid this catastrophe, he was overlooked and other voices were taken above his opinion. And it was not just an opinion. It was directly the word of the Lord. Now, remember what we're talking about, the continuation of the book of Acts. Do you think this story just wound up close here to the last parts of the book of Acts? And Luke didn't have anything else to write about, so he just read about a man out there in a storm and a great ship. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that it was written for an example that we would be able to receive an understanding when we also, our little boat of life is on the seas that are tossed about. It helps us to see one thing emphatically over and over again, that many times God will spare us from going through things. Other times God will not spare us from going through them, but He will give us strength as we go through them. And this is what we can see in this story, that they are not there because Paul had made a bad choice. It's not like Jonah at all, that they're out here in the storms of life or battering the boat, and they're there because Paul was rebellious and God is now going to throw Paul overboard. That's not the story. That's not what's going on. But God is now allowing His servant to suffer right along with the decisions of unbelievers, as we can suffer with family members who make wrong decisions, or people in our church that will make wrong decisions, and the saints of God will suffer right along with them many times because of the decisions. You know as well as I do that you've had family members that's made poor decisions, and their decisions has reflected upon you as the elect people of God, and yet because you're part of that family. Does God keep us from all of that? He does not. Now, because the book of Acts is a continuation and it has been continued down through 2,000 years, then not only will the supernatural continue, but much of the trouble, the stress, the things that the church went through, it will continue as well. Now, myself, when I read this, I find also that in this, that the great stress and the difficulty they were going through is continued the same. Now let's pick up on verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Now here they done talked among themselves, possibly even with the owner too. So they made up in their mind, now they're going to cast out the anchors and they're going to act like that they have to get down into the smaller boat in order to really cast the anchor out to help stabilize the ship. Now, but you know, you can't hide from the Holy Ghost. So here Paul now, he begins to pick this up. They must have been overwhelmed when they realized, how did he know that? Did you tell him? It wasn't me. It wasn't me. But the Holy Ghost did. Now notice Paul's deliverance is not going to be based upon whether or not these men are in the ship. Paul is going to Rome with or without these guys. But I'll tell you what. Now, God is going, and God has already determined, it was a determinant counsel by the foreknowledge of God, that these men are going to be saved, all 276. But it's going to be by the mixture of humanity and deity mixed together. Now, God supernaturally moves in our lives many times without us lifting one finger. But there's many times in our life that God will work with us, and we must do our part, and we must work together with the plan of God, or it will not come to pass. This is what we see right here. Now, God is going to save Paul. That's already a said word. But these men being saved is based upon the condition of the mariners staying inside the ship and doing their part till the very end. Now, God's going to allow the ship to be busted all apart. It's going to be totally annihilated. But they cannot sit there and say, well, whatever will be, will be. There's no need for me to try. There's no need for me to do anything. If they don't do their very best right up to the last moment, they're not even going to be saved. Come on now, church. If we're not careful, it's so easy for us to get it in our mind. Well, whatever's going to be is going to be. And I don't have to pray no more. I don't have to read no more. I'm going to be saved. I'm ordained. You'll be as absolutely miserable church member. Look, do I believe the bride's name is on the book of life? I do. But much of the walk that we have with God is going to be determined upon you, not just God. God wants every one of us to have a victorious walk with God. I don't believe God has some Christians ordained to be in victory, some in sort of victory, and some in no victory. And you can't prove that by the scripture. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I believe God wants every one of his children to live a victorious life. Some people can't even live a victorious life enough to attend church regularly. They can't even live victorious enough in their health, in their peace, in many, many things. Does God want that? You'll never convince me of that. Now, whenever God ordained now that God had given Paul, remember all these people on board, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, he has told me this night that all of you are going to be saved. But their salvation from being drowned is going to be based upon conditions, but not Paul's. Now, so the shipmen have made up in their mind that they're going to get inside this boat under the pretense or color, as Luke uses, and they're going to drop the anchors over into that. Then they're going to go to the back of the ship, and whenever they do, they're going to convince, and then they're going to jump out. Now notice, Paul has displayed one great attribute of the power of God through all these things. Now whenever Paul had now become his word basically not paid any heed to, any attention to, he did not pout and sell up, you know, well, I'll tell you, I told you the truth, and you didn't hear me, so go on to hell. You just go ahead and do it. Deserves your right, do whatever you want to do. But you imagine when they got in trouble, Paul actually becomes the commander of the ship. Now that's a real pastor. That's a real pastor. Whenever his advice is not heeded to, and his counsel is not listened to, instead of selling up, well, I told you so, I told you so, a real pastor will come right back and help you pray your way to repentance right back to God again. He'll help you deal with issues and deal with issues, even though 6 months prior to this, he told you not to go that way. But a real pastor loves you more than he loves his own feelings. That's right. So instead of Paul selling up and pouting and holding a grievance and a grudge against all these, immediately Paul comes right to the forefront and he becomes basically the commander of the ship. Now notice, so these guys are going to go out and they're under false pretense. They're going to let down the anchor and actually act like that they're going to do it. Their real intention is, of course, to get on board and to be able to go. They're 115 fathoms, which is under 120 feet. So they're close enough to where they figure that if they can get in this ship, which is on the side. Notice again how Luke writes this, that he uses it in the terms of a mariner himself. And he calls the big ship her, and he calls the little ship her, and he calls about the adrift. All of his terms is actually of a mariner. It shows me the complicity of God and the simplicity of God as well, how that God would have Luke to write this in such a way. You know, preachers do the same thing. I love to hear a man of God that can be able to take the word and tell a Bible story from 4,000 years ago, and yet
actually preach it as though what happened in your home this afternoon. That's a real man of God that's in touch with the Holy Ghost. So here's Luke. Now he's writing this, but he's writing it not as a physician. Now what if Luke would have wrote this on the terms of a physician? And he would have said it on a physician's terms. And he would have said it in a term. But what's he able to do? Condescend to the Spirit of God and be able to yield his hand to be able to write under the conditions where he is. So he begins to change, and the Spirit of God molds him, and he begins to move the same way God does a gift and in his man's life. A man can take the same sermon, preach it 4 or 5 times, and he'll be the first one to tell you that every time he preaches that, it will be dictated and determined, even the demeanor by which he brings that sermon, according to the congregation that he preaches it in. You notice Brother Branham, he preached influence many, many times. He preached many sermons over and over again, and you listen to him. I've done it this way, that you take the same sermon title and listen to it 60, 61, 62, 64, and you'll notice as each one of them things, as each time he preaches it, he'll read his text the same thing, announce the sermon title, and say, oh my, here we go again, preaching the same thing. No, it ain't going to be the same thing, because the needs in that congregation will dictate what he brings. Aren't you glad God's that way? So preachers don't stand up with a microwave sermon and just stick in the spiritual microwave and zap it 30 seconds and then hand it out to you. But you will dictate what comes from that man of God according to your needs, if he's truly a man of God. And if he ain't, he don't need to be in the pulpit anyway. So this is what we see now out of Luke. You imagine that God now, in his great sovereignty, having Luke to write down facts, as I mentioned this a few weeks ago, to where that this journey can actually be proven to this very day on ancient maps by the very route that they took. Now, maybe many of us around said, we got out in a boat and we're going to go over here and go over and do this. That's not the way God inspired Luke to do it. Here, even when he's calling about the Adria, this is the Adriatic Sea. Now, watch how he says it, the fore part of the ship, and then the hinder part of the ship. So he goes to describe it. Now, notice the display of these men's attitudes, because they are under the dominion of the headship of which they are now serving. Remember that they themselves are working for this merchantman. And this merchantman which owned the ship, he was the owner and the proprietor of the ship, so he had all this investment involved in the ship. So they are under the headship of this owner of the ship. What was his display that he acted out in the ship itself? It was the attitude of selfishness. So these guys work for him. When it comes right down to life, what do they operate under? They operate under the headship of their master. Their master has one thing in mind: business, making money, being rich, and doing this and that and the other. So when it comes down to their life, they fall under the headship of their master, and that is save yourself. Forget everybody else. It don't matter what everybody else does. If it comes right down to it, save yourself. They're operating under the administration of selfishness. But notice Paul. Paul is under a different headship altogether. Oh, glory. He don't work for the master of the ship. He's not working for Nero. He's not working for Caligula. He's working for the Lord Jesus. And the kingdom of the Lord Jesus is not based upon selfishness, but it is based upon, very strongly, on the attribute of selflessness. Not selfishness. This not being selfish. Oh, I'm concerned with me, my family, this, that, the other. But it is based upon one of the great divine attributes of God, and that is selflessness. It's not just about me, about my wife, my children, my grandchildren. It's about the entirety of the economy of God. Now, they are operating under their head. So what do? Then they look out for themselves. Paul is operating under his head, and he's now reaching out for others. That's beyond his own face. Now, if that had been some of us message people, we'd said, well, they're heathens, they're Romans, they're infidels, they're Catholics, they're Baptists, let them go on to hell. We don't care if they drown. But you see, we're missing the spirit that the message has brought in, if that's our attitude. We know everybody's never going to accept this message, but the Lord Jesus preached and prayed and loved many, many people that never accepted him as Messiah. Brother Branham prayed for many, many people that never accepted the message of the hour. That's the spirit this message was brought in. Oh my. Now watch him then, the display of both of these headships. Paul said to the centurion, verse 31, and to the soldier. Now notice he bypasses the owner of the ship. He does not speak to the captain. He does not speak to the midshipman. He does not speak to any of those that's actually under the headship of this man. You know that there's a camaraderie that's going on. So Paul totally bypasses this man, and he goes over here to the centurion and said to the centurion and to the soldiers, oh my, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now, you know, from look at this, you'd think, well, here's the owner of the ship. Why don't he go to them? It shows us that there was apparently an element of camaraderie among them, that maybe this guy's fixing to sneak off with them. Oh my, how many do the same thing? They get in trouble. Boy, they're with the church. As long as things is going good and the church goes having trouble, you can't find them no more. They ain't nowhere around until the church gets through the trouble, and then they show up again. My. But here Paul bypasses the owner of the ship, and he goes directly to the centurion and to the soldiers. Now, notice this, the word that Paul uses here. And in order to make their escape, of course, Paul's done been revealed to them, apparently, by the Spirit of God. So they're going to climb over into this boat on the side, and then they're going to be able to let down, acting as if though under the color. And the owner is going to say, oh, boys, let me help you. He ain't never done an honest day's work in his life. So they know right off there's something wrong with this guy. So he come over and said, boys, let me help you here, and y'all need some help with this anchor, and we're going to get this thing out of here. And the Spirit of God says to Paul, they're fixing to sneak out. So Paul just marches over to the centurion. Excuse me, sir, these folks fixing to go overboard. They're fixing to head toward the shore. He said, really? He said, yeah, you better stop me a second. Listen to this. Unless they stay on the ship, you can't be saved. Now, Paul didn't say he couldn't. God can still allow his people to walk on water. I'll tell you, friends, I don't mind flying, and I've had to fly a lot in my life and my ministry, and I don't mind doing it. But the way I look at it, if I'm going over the Atlantic or the Pacific or the Adriatic or wherever I'm at, if it ain't my time to go and that thing crashes, God can still let me and Carol to walk on water to the nearest land. Amen. Well, it might be the pilot's time to go. That ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm under a different administration than he's under. God brought us here to serve his purpose, and the devil cannot take us until God is through. Now, does that mean that Paul was not alarmed? Luke was not alarmed? Certainly does not mean that. But overall, when it comes right down to it, the sovereign will of God will override all of our humanity, fears and anxieties and everything with it. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, my. Now, whenever Paul sees that, then these sailors or merchantmen, they're going to come up and they're going to do it. And so Paul said, I'm so concerned. Don't you see? A real pastor, a real shepherd, a real man who loves the people that surround him. This had nothing to do with Paul. This had nothing to do with him and Luke. This had nothing to do with Arcturus and the rest of the brothers that was on board the ship. This had to do with all of those poor people that was not even believers. Oh, you're talking about a real man of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's not just concerned about his church and his family. He's concerned about humanity. Can you imagine our prophet telling us that he prayed every day that doctors, that God would allow doctors to find a cure for cancer? Why? Because Brother Branham loves humanity, not just message people. How are they going to be saved, though? By using the appropriated way of God. Now, I know sometimes, friends, sometimes this don't make any sense. And most of us would choose, ultimately, we would choose the supernatural way every time, hands down. If we're sick and afflicted, we'd much rather walk up here and let a servant of God lay hands on us and cast that off of us. We turn in a testimony Saturday night, I had this, that, the other, and God healed me. God supernaturally healed me. But sometimes God will use surgery. Sometimes God will use medication. God may use glasses. God may use different types of things. And I know we think it's not as great. Don't tell me it ain't great if God decides to use it. Now, Paul is going to be saved, and the rest of these people are going to be saved by the interworking of divine plus human elements mixed together. It's the same way in your and I walk with God. We are in the continuation of the book of Acts. Our little boat of life gets tossed about and storms come. And you say, well, God, I ain't doing one thing. I'll tell you what, Lord, you just do what you do best. This is your boat. This is your ship. I ain't going to pray. I ain't going to read my Bible. I'm not going to apply myself. Now, what do you want me to say over here in your funeral? Because we're fixing to bury you. That's exactly right. Because God merges those two together. You've got something you've got to do. Oh my. Hallelujah. So divine agency and human instrumentality are going to be merged together. And when the human part runs out, God's going to allow this ship to be totally obliterated. But they've got to hang right with it until the last board explodes off the side. Then God will step in. Well, you say, why? It saved me all the trouble. No, it would make you more lazy than what you are now if he done it all the time. Come on, don't sit down and look at me big eye. Now, he has received, now there must have been, you know, what a powerful man that stands here now. As the commander, he is now approaching a Roman centurion. He is now approaching soldiers, which had the authority, of course, to kill him. And he has found favor in the eyes of Julius. My, my, he's the centurion. So Paul was so sure that God was going to deliver him. He said, hey, this don't even affect me. Okay, I'm bride. I'm bride, but if you're going to be saved, you better get in, foolish virgin. Look, friend, we're not just trying to... Well, I'm preaching to the bride only. Well, I'm not. If I can reach the bride, hallelujah. If I can grab a hold of a foolish virgin here and a foolish virgin there, why would I not want them to be saved? Why? Who would we want to go to hell? I don't know anybody I want to be lost. Notice in verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat. I would to God I could get some of y'all to cut the ropes off of your boat that easy. You're hanging on to this and hanging on to that and hanging on to something else. You imagine? The centurion hears what Paul. Oh, glory to God. This man's not even a believer. This man don't have a new birth. He don't have the Holy Ghost. But as soon as Paul tells him, and then he turns around to the soldiers. Notice what happens. The centurion and these Roman soldiers now step into Paul's boat of faith. Now what if they'd been like the people of this day? I want proof. Was there anybody there with you in the room when that angel said you was going to be able to do this? I want to know, was there anybody out there in Sunset? In that room in that bottom of the ship there. I want somebody. Did anybody video it? Did anybody record the voice of that angel telling you that? I want to know, is it the proof or not? I'm going to put it on YouTube. I'm going to search the paper. Look, you'll be grounded. You have to believe. These are Roman soldiers. They are not tough faced. They are taught to obey your superiors, not face. You imagine?
Think about it.
So here they walk over. Whack, 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 whack. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Anybody got any of these kind of boats hanging around on you tonight? Let me walk near. My sword will do it if you won't run off. Some of y'all use steel cables, don't you? I'm fixed for that too. Sticks of dynamite stuck in my vest. So whatever you use, God's got something greater. Oh my. Now you imagine this is what was tying her. Notice again Luke's terminology, her, calling it a her. It was this that was tying. This is their life's tie. They know they're getting closer and closer. 120 fathoms, 115 fathoms. And now they're moving and they know they're getting closer and they're going to break up. They know that there's a sandbar near there somewhere. And they're coming and they know this is their life's tie of being able to get out of this mess. Glory to God. You imagine how they felt? I can. It's sort of like when somebody cut my Trinitarian doctrine and took the sword and went, whack, whack, whack. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Heathenism. And my boat fell off. Or my tongues being the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Or Well, if I don't feel the Holy Ghost, I ain't saved, and I ain't got no emotion. Now, that's what God needs to do to us sometimes. Cut the traditions. This is our life saving strength. I can do this. If I got that boat, I can get over her. Cut her off. Cut her off. Let her drop in the sea. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They had let it down now into the sea. Oh, they're so close, Brother Jim. They're so close. You imagine that there was this nervous race in their heart, and they were just feeling the same. We're going to be saved. Let them do whatever they want to do. A bunch of nuts. We're going to get out of this place. And over walks them soldiers, and they take them swords and cut it off and let it drop. And there it goes and totally disappears. By cutting the ropes, they are now identified under the believing part of this man of God. Praise be to God. They now have removed all possibility of them being able to get to the shore all in one piece. Remember, it was the vanity of the owner. It was the vanity of the captain. The vanity of this centurion taking their word over the word of a prophet of God. And God said, because you've done that, it will be a total loss. You put this before me, I will destroy it. Oh my. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. By Trinitarianism, by rock and roll, by country love songs. God don't mind you listen to love songs, but God hates country love songs. They're full of adultery and lust and all kinds of other perversion. Sing the real love songs. Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Love Lifted Me in Beulah Land. That's the real love songs we ought to be singing. Oh my. Isn't it amazing that they would be able to have faith? Faith. How could they do this? To have faith in this messenger's word. No evidence, no proof. One man is saying this. One man. Praise be to God. Amen. So the centurion says, cut her off. And while the day was coming on, so now the night is fading. And the dark gray morning is starting to break. They haven't seen sun for 14 days, stars for 14 nights. Now the dawn is starting to rise and break over the horizon. It's not beautiful, clear, but it's more that gray, cloudy overcast. Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day, saying, notice this, that you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. So here he stands in the breach. Glory. Amen. He stands in the breach between these men, that it seems like all hope is gone. And the message has cut the rest of their hope off. Every tie to the Church of God's been totally severed now. Every tie to the Pentecost. Well, I've held on to this one thing thinking I could go back to the Methodist Church. They won't take you now. You might as well forget it. You're done too far in, brother. Let her go. They won't have you back now. Not you've come here a few times. You're identified. They say, do they have that Kool-Aid up there? No, but he drinks Gatorade when it gets hot every now and then. I told you some time ago, a man come here, maybe a couple of years ago, something like that. Brother Jim Coleman said, a man wanted to meet me here. I come into the sanctuary here, start talking to the guy. He said, you're looking around, me talking to him. I said, sir, you know what, your problem, help me out. I didn't understand what he wanted. It's like he wouldn't pay no attention. So I kept talking to him. He kept looking around. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, could you tell me what is you're looking for? He said, I heard y'all worship a statue. And I was looking for the statue. I said, and who is the statue of? I said, Branham. I said, William Branham. Said, that's him. I said, well, whoever told you that lied to you. We worship one person in this church, and that's the Lord Jesus. You know, man, imagine, friend, there's no telling what in the world that people are told. Well, it's the same way here. You imagine they were told this guy done all kinds of supernatural things. Angels appeared to him and voices come to him. You mean I'm going to tie my salvation, my soul, me being saved to the one word of this one man? There wasn't a council. There wasn't a synod of bishops. There wasn't some type of whole group of people. It was one man. It was one man that said God spoke to him, and an angel come to him, and he was there praying in Green's Mill, and an angel come out and said, I've been sent from the presence of God. One man's word. Now let's move on board with them. The ship is still turning up and down, back and forth, sideways, up and down this way. Euroclydon is still hammering down on them. Starting to break dawn, and the clouds still hanging so heavy. The fog and the mist, and Paul stands up in the midst of them, in the midst of the church and the troubled sea of life. And Paul tells them, we need to eat. We need to eat. And we need to have some fellowship. Now, you know as well as I do, there is something about us getting together and eating. You ever notice that? When we get together, and you may be having troubles and burdens and this and that. I've seen it even in funerals of my own loved ones and others. So where the, you know, you go to meeting and talking about the arrangements and everybody's sad and so brokenhearted, and that comes with it. And then somebody will say, remember when daddy used to do this, or mama used to do that. And then it was it do. It turns it right around and say, yeah, I remember that. And people go to life and there's something, oh glory, something about eating and fellowshipping that can affect all of our demeanor. No wonder God wants you to come to church and eat. No wonder He don't want you to stay at home and starve. He wants you to assemble yourself. And maybe you're in a bad mood, but the rest of us can help affect your mood. And maybe if we come in a bad mood, you come in a good mood and you can help us. So here they're fixing to crash. Every hope is gone. And this man wants to eat. Brother Robert Marrero was streaming the service the other night, and he said, when I said about eat, 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 so a lot of folks have in their mind, said he got started to get up and say, his wife said, where are you going? He said, to the refrigerator. Said, Brother Donnie, he said, eat, eat, eat. She said, hey, sit down, you're talking about you snacking. Now, while the day is breaking, oh, now they're torn to pieces. Now, 14 days, friends, 14 days, you've not taken food. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that they hadn't eaten a bite. Anybody ever fasted 14 days? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Take my word for it, and these others that have. You don't want to be fighting no shipwreck fasting 14 days. They're not eating for God's good. They're eating for their own. Now watch, the human instrumentality must be at its best in order for it to work hand in hand with the supernatural sovereignty of God. Now, they're weak, they're distraught, their spirit is tore all to pieces. Paul figures one of the best things to do to fix it is a fellowship supper. Or in this state, a breakfast. So what are they going to do? Why is it that we talk about, hey brother, you know, man, I've been missing you. Maybe we can go out for a meal. What is it about that to us? What is it, brother? We talk about it. We never do it, but we talk about it. Hey man, you and Brother David and somebody, we'll go out for a meal. That's just all talk. You know, we're planning for the marriage supper, I guess. Yeah, we'll go out and we'll just sit around and talk for a bit. Why? There's something about it. There's something about it. Oh my, as long as you ain't got one killjoy there, they'll tow the whole thing upside down. But Paul's going to make sure this ain't going to happen. Notice he is taking command of their minds. He is taking command of their attitude. This man of God is fixing to change the whole attitude on this whole ship of 275 mortals that's on board. He's fixing to change it. They're going to have it in order to face this shipwreck. Fourteen days since the storm began. They've just grabbed a little bite of something, drank a little bit of water, a little of this and that. And Paul said, Y'all need your strength. You need some joy. Come on, smile a little bit. Come on, Brother Charlie. Smile. There you go. Oh, I look so much better than a friend. You can't continue this. You're going to need your strength. Isn't it amazing many times when folks get depressed? Not always, but many of them, they don't eat. They don't care what they look like. They don't comb their hair. They don't get up till 12 o'clock. Then they take a nap at 2. I'm not making fun of that now. They just don't care what they do. Life don't have no purpose. They don't care if they live or die. Elijah got to that spot. He didn't care if he lived or died. He didn't care if he got up and laid down, slept, whatever more. He had a nervous breakdown. And when people get to that spot, they need our help. And I realize we can only help people as they will allow us to. But Paul, apparently led by the Spirit of God, why didn't he call for a prayer meeting? Please don't misunderstand me. It wasn't time to pray. It was time to eat. And time to laugh. And time to change their demeanor. Some of y'all just sat around home all the time, feel sorry for you. You got the old mully grubs. You know what you need to do? Get out of the house, old sourpuss. Get out of the house. Go fellowship with some brothers. Have a good life. Come on. A merry heart does good like a medicine. We're supposed to have the truth in this end time. We're supposed to be heading for a rapture, and yet we look like we are the biggest losers in this world. Y'all ain't had not one good meal since this set in. Y'all been sad, depressed, down, weary. We need to have a little fellowship. Notice this in verse 34. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat. Now, meat, of course, in the Bible, it was used as saying eating. So it's not just necessarily venison or steak or something like that. It could be used for bread or herbs or whatever more. They interchange the word. Wherefore I pray, take some meat. For this is for your right. We're fixing to be shipwrecked. Our boat is fixing to be destroyed, and we're going to eat for our health. I mean, the farther this man goes, the more faith it requires. This is for my health. I mean, I'm almost dead. I'm so sick I can't hardly stand up. I've been on the ship for 14 days and 14 nights, the 14th day, and I'm so sick I can hardly go, and this thing's fixing to be destroyed according to him, and now he's telling me to eat for my health. If they don't eat, they're not going to be strong enough to finish doing their part. If you don't eat, you're not going to be strong enough to finish doing your part. It ain't going to be enough to come to church 3 times a week. Y'all just eat food on church days? Really? But Fred, you don't just eat Sunday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Wednesday. How many days a week do y'all normally eat? How many times a day? No, Amy, don't answer that. So you eat every day physically and only come to church 2 or 3 days. Some of you come once a week. And yet you figure somehow spiritually that you're doing good by not coming to church, reading your Bible, praying, all that sort of thing. I don't understand that mentality. This is for your health. Amen. This is for your health. But Brother Donnie, I'm going through so much stuff. I'm so sick. I'm so down. I'm so depressed. A very good sign that you need to eat. And we need to get together and have some fellowship and let the joy of the Lord fall among us. Maybe some of you might even shout and dance around a little bit. What will it do? It will rejuvenate your spirit and bring strength in your body for what? The battle that lays ahead. So Paul says, let's set the table. Right. So they go to setting the plates. And Euryclodon, the plates are sliding all over the table. They set the cups. So everybody has to sit down and grab a hold of their plate and their fork and their knife and whatever they're drinking. And we're going to have a good time. Yeah, right. Sort of like we are in this day. Korea firing their missiles, this one saying this, Russia threatening that, going to export 700 and some of our people from Russia. Why? Because all this stuff going on, and you say we ought to be the happiest people in the world? Right! Right, exactly! This old boat's fixing to bust apart, my friend. This boat right here was nothing compared to what's fixing to hit Laodicea. But I say it's time we eat, drink, and be merry. Oh! Hallelujah! Let's eat the unfailing body word of the Son of Man and get so drunk on the Holy Ghost that we don't remember what our name is, and be so filled with the power of God because we know it's coming. Amen. Everyone, take your seats. I don't know if I can do this or not. Facebook! Better read your Bible! Oh. Go ahead. Put it down. It'll help you. It's for your health. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when I meet strangers out, you know, flying with people, I've done this before, and say, what do you do? I say, marriage counselor, financial counselor. I mean, I list a whole big bunch of things. Wow. You mean you do all that? You're a marriage counselor, a financial counselor, a parenting associate, and a children advisor? And I just list a whole big bunch of things of what I do. I said, wow, you do all the, you have all them different offices? I said, no, I do it all in one office. I'm a preacher. So I'm a financial advisor, I'm a financial counselor, I'm a parental advisor, I'm a parental counselor. I do all these things, so you wear all these hats in the one office. So, you know, it's easy to get down. It's easy to get weary. You deal with all that stuff. And we're living in that kind of an age. Look, friend, do you think the world out here is having this great, wonderful time? I sat in Ohio the other day, and the brothers were telling me about the condition of the drug addiction, heroin, and so on there. They said in some of the countries or the counties in southern Ohio, so many people are dying on drug overdose. They're having to bring in refrigerated tractors and trailers to hold their bodies because the morgues are so full. And they're introducing a new drug on the street that is 10,000 times more powerful than heroin. And people dying like flies. Wow, Brother Darrell, they're looking for something. They're searching for something. Don't you tell me we don't feel that oppression around us. We feel that anxiety around us. You've got it in your family. You've got it in your friends and loved ones. And there may not be drug addiction. There may be other kinds of things. And they're searching for something. And you try to tell them. And they shove him right back in your face. Don't tell me that don't affect you. You've got children that ain't living right. People that ain't doing right. It's a heartbreaking time. Our boat is tossed about and the waves are up and down. Brother Donnie, what's your advice? Let's eat. Oh, hallelujah. Let's eat. When Elijah had his breakdown, oh my, here they're going another thought. When Elijah had his breakdown, what did God do? He sent him a servant down there with a sandwich. He said, you're all stressed out and you're all broke down. And I just said, what should I do? He said, let's eat. Let's eat. Hallelujah! He sent him again. What for? Let's eat. You need the strength and the courage. Let's not feed on carnality. Let's not feed on the vanity of this world. But let us feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Let's eat. Notice this, wherefore, I pray you, take some meat. This is for your health. And oh yeah, let me just drop this in on the side. For there shall not be a hair fall from the head of any of you. As long as you do what I tell you. Now, brother, sister, it's one thing to say, and I'll tell you what, boys, some of y'all is going to have broke legs. Some of you is going to have broke arms. Three or four of you is going to lose an eye. Some of you is going to lose an ear. One or two of you may lose a nose. Some of you may lose a foot. But can you imagine a man standing up here telling them you're fixing to have... This must have been a monstrous ship. 276 people on board, and they're fixing to crash. They're going to run right into this isthmus, which is a sandbar sticking out dry between two oceans where they meet together. The waves turning like this, and you're going to drive right into the middle of that, and you're going to crash, and not one hair, not a broken arm, not a broken leg. Let me tell you, he said, God is so going to watch over you for my sake. Lord have mercy. God's going to watch over you for my sake. There will not be a hair. If Paul could say that, what about Jesus Christ? Oh, brother, we're in trouble. We got sick. We got distressed. If Paul could stand there and say that, can you imagine our lovely Lord Jesus speaking back to the bride and say, don't fear, little bride. There is a man here who can turn on the light, and there won't be one hair fall from your head.
So he said, let's eat. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Now he don't take his little lunch box over here and go in behind the door. Dear Jesus, thank you for this food. I pray you bless it. Amen. Let's have lunch, boys. You're ashamed to bow over your food or with the guys you work with. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. These Romans were murderers. These merchantmen, who knows what all these sailors were. But the pastor takes charge of the ship. You can imagine him in his heart saying, if my God's going to save you, you're going to comply. If my God's big enough and good enough to save you, I'm going to give him credit right now in the appropriate manner he deserves it. So here they watch him now. So when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. So a piece of bread, or common bread, as it was called. So he took it in his hands in the same way the Lord Jesus did. So he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Who knows his prayer? But you know what? They knew well enough to know when the head of the family, the home, or a feast was going to pray over the fruit. No one was allowed to take one bite of food until the man leading the assembly had blessed the food and had taken the first bite himself. And when he was first partaker of the fruits, then they knew to dig in. You imagine these sailors? They wasn't taught etiquette. These Roman centurions and these soldiers, they wouldn't talk etiquette. But you imagine a holy hush that come down as that man of God was breaking the word. Oh Lord, may it happen right here tonight. That holy hush, that holy presence of God as it come down. Oh, don't you believe it, friend? As a servant of God breaks the word. Oh, amen. And he blesses that and he himself begins to partake. And then it falls over the whole assembly. Not saved men, not church people, cussers, liars, drunkards, who knows what all. So he breaks the bread and he gives thanks. And then he finishes with amen. Then he takes the first bite himself. You imagine this one, that one, and that one. All around the table. The Euroclodon is still going now. But they're eating right in the midst of the storm. Glory to God. Children, don't you see? Why is it that we don't think this is wonderful? Why is it that, Brother Darrell, we don't look at this and think this is the same thing that's going on tonight? The very same thing spiritually is happening around the world. We're in great storms. We're in great battles. Are we going to quit eating?
That's what a lot of folks do when they get depressed and sad and down. They quit coming to church. They quit praying. They quit reading the Bible. You're doing the exact opposite of what you should do. When you get to that spot, it's time to call a feast. And the feast has already been called by Christ Himself, inviting you to come. The Master called us. Come and dine. Paul was not among believers. He was not among Christians. But they were subjected to the power and the dynamite inside this man's life. Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the word power is dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite from. What is being displayed here? You're looking for a miracle? Here is one. Hey, there must have been an awe or something that just come over them. People that was awful, wretched. How many message funerals have you been to and you saw the exact same thing happen? The people come in that look like Jezebels and they smell like they just smoked a pack of Winstons before they walk in the door. And all of a sudden, God take a hold of a man of God that goes to preaching that word and they sit there spellbound. Wow! Where in the world? What is it? Same thing taking place. Book of Acts going on. And for a little while anyway, they're subjected to a man of God as he breaks the word and maybe hear things they have never heard in their life and may never hear again. I don't imagine these old boys started praying over their food after that, but that didn't matter. They're bowing their heads now. Amen, Brother Dow. What is it? God has supernaturally brought them under the control of the Holy Ghost. And Paul was not ashamed. Now you imagine for him and Luke and Arcturus and the other brethren, was no strange thing to them. But let's look for just a moment. As Paul takes it, and Luke and them know what he's fixing to do. He bows his head. Maybe the centurion looks around. And the sailors, they look around. And then this guy does, and that one, all around this big table everywhere they're sitting. They all go to drop in their hands. This holy hush falls over this as this man of God breaks the bread of life. You imagine Paul. It's hard for a preacher to pray and not preach a little bit. Brother Louis says he has a hard time sometimes trying to get preachers to pray over the prayer request because they go to preach the next sermon to go to preach when they're praying. It's just hard for a preacher. You imagine he didn't let this opportunity to go by to thank God for the food. Maybe reached out a little bit beyond the table there too and said, Lord God, I want to thank you for being so merciful to these Romans. I want to thank you for your mercy extending beyond the Lamb's book of life over into the book of life. And you were going to spare these men's lives. I thank you for your mercy endures forever. Your kindness is so great. No doubt many of these men had prayed to their gods. There was all kinds of sea gods and goddesses. No doubt they had prayed and prayed. The Romans had all kinds of gods. But no doubt they sensed a great atmosphere and aurora as it was come into there as this man of God prayed. Hallelujah. And they had never sensed anything like it before. Notice it. Verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer? Really? The power of one anointed servant of God. Lord Schiller, if a servant of God could have that kind of influence on sinners and people that even say, what ought a gift of God in a preacher's life have on believers? What kind of influence ought to have on us when we come in here, where I'm preaching or not? This is not a Reaganite church. This is not whether Brother Donnie is preaching, God can't move. Don't you believe that trash. God will move me out of here and put somebody else in here. It's not if I'm preaching. It's not if Brother Dow's preaching. If the Holy Ghost is preaching. That's what matters. If God can anoint one gift of God, right there, they all, after this prayer and these words and breaking the bread, this man of God took control and said, Satan, leave this ship. I drive away you despondent devils of despair.
I just begin to look around and smile. I felt this good in 14 days. Why, I've not smiled. I've not felt this in my heart. And it wasn't because they prayed. It was because he prayed. Look what a contrast in this moment. Verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope, this is Luke, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Even Luke was convinced we're all going to perish. Praise God. Notice verse 37. And we were in all the ship, 276 souls. 276. The master, the owner, the midshipmen, the prisoners, the Romans, 276. And they're all just fellowshipping, talking about what? I have no idea. What would Romans have in common with ship people? Unless, of course, it was the one man that was in charge. Now, they couldn't talk ship together. They couldn't talk Roman arms together. They couldn't. Wonder if their conversation was not saying, what are we doing? Where are we? What are we experiencing? What's going on among us? Amen. I've seen many men. I've heard many men speak. I've stood at the Roman place and seen. I was in the Praetorian Guard. I've seen Caesars. I've seen Neros. I've never seen a man. May the world say that about us. Not just the preacher. Let me close. Can I go just a bit farther and then we'll close? Let's stop on this verse, verse 38. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. So they're all full now, and they're happy. Isn't it amazing that they really got full of good things? They got to lightening their load. This is the third time now. So they're lightening the ship. Why? Heavier the ship is, the deeper it sinks. The lighter it is, the less it'll take the waves. So now they've all eaten, and they're full. Now they're getting close to the landing. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm going to close. One of these mornings, you will need faith no longer. Faith will have terminated and completed its cycle and course in your life. Faith will then end in sight. We will no longer need prayer meetings. We will no longer need prayer lines. Think of a church. We will lighten our ship in this sense for the last time. We'll pray for the sick the last time. We'll need no more encouragement, no more conference meetings, no more, you know, trying to encourage the people along. We'll need no more faith. Think of it. I know this is shocking. You'll need faith no more. Adam didn't have to have faith. Think of it. In the Garden of Eden. He did not have to have faith to believe there was a God. His eyes declared it. His body declared it. His senses declared it. But since man lost that sense, we have needed faith ever since. But when the cycle has been complete, You'll not be up in heaven wondering, is God still here? Is there still a God? Is there a God in the rapture and the millennium? No, your senses will declare him just as real as Adam's did. And faith will reach its course and you'll be pulled right back up into the circle of eternity again. And Brother Scott, human faith will be laid aside. We'll need no more encouragement. We'll need no more prayer lines, no more prayer meetings. There'll be no more preaching. Praise God. No more studying. No more staying up all night and crying and praying for people. We will lighten our ship of what? The very things that sustained us and gave us energy to make the final phase of the journey. Oh my. Let's stay. Praise God. Oh my. Think of it, friends. One day you'll pick up your Bible. You'll thumb through it to your favorite scripture or just at random. It'll open up. And your eyes will fall on it. You'll sit there and read it. Your heart will be so ministered to. Or occasionally you may do the way I do. When you land on the spot, that, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need help. Abinadab begat Mahusahath. And then Mahunta. You got to be kidding. Oh, I'm the only one that happens to. Now, I know. Brother Mem said you got to see Christ in every verse. Now, I'm not telling you, some in verses, I'll struggle. You lay it down, Carol, your Bible, which is well read and worn. You lay it down on the table. Little do you know, before noon, you'll be changed. Your Bible won't go with you in the rapture. Your favorite media player, what's an MP3 player of the message, or, you know, visiting a church website or whatever more. You might say, Lord Jesus, wait a minute, I need my CD player. He said, you won't need it here. I need my table. He said, I've got a table set for you. You won't need the one from the voice of God. No discredit to that now. But what will you do? The wheat, the seed word that sustains you and give you health, you'll leave it here. We'll come to Happy Valley for our last service. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whatever it is. And then the rapture will take place. We'll never gather together here again. This place will be turned to atomic fodder and ash. We'll cast the wheat out. We'll eat on it for the last time. And we'll be changed. Jesus ain't going to prepare book racks in heaven for your books. Or tape racks for your tapes. He's going to prepare a place for you. Think of it. We'll sit here one day. You'll turn on your tape for the last time. You'll hear some preacher preach. Might be Brother Tim. You go stream a website. Maybe you'll go over to hear the Ruth meetings and hear Brother Tim. That'll be the last time you ever hear a preacher preach. That'll be the final time. You'll lighten the ship. Don't need faith no more. Don't need to hear preaching no more. Don't need prayer lines no more. No more papers on the back, prayer request. I ain't going to turn them in no more because ain't nobody sick. No more dentists, no more doctors, no more insurance. Glory to God. No more infernal revenue service. No taxes, no president, no Democrats, no Republicans. You talking about lightening the ship. Gray hair, wrinkles, old age. What are we going to do? You're going to lighten your ship for about 40 years or so for some of you. Some of you for 50. Oh, praise God. The very thing that you sit there and eat and eat and it brings you joy and sustains you, makes you so happy and you feel so good. And then you get done eating your last meal and you dump it. Some of y'all are still pondering that, ain't you? You know, you're just trying to figure out. Look, friends, my Bible is not an idol. My church is not an idol. This is only a building. This carpet could have been wound up in a honky-tonk. This wood right here could have wound up in some kind of prostitute place. This sheetrock and whatever more. It can have wound up who knows where. It's only hallowed and sanctified by the presence of God and by you coming here. So one day when we are finished with it, it will be laid aside. Amen. But you're the one that's saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord Jesus, we love you. I know this has been simple. It's not been deep and profound and full of lots of mysteries. But it's been something that most of us could be able to relate to. I thank you so much, Father, that the book of Acts contains signs and wonders and miracles. But I thank you that it has more than miracles in it, Lord. It has the struggles of the early church and the battles and the difficulties, how they faced political oppression and religious oppression, even going through natural things, even as we look at it with this great writing. According to historians who have compared the mariner tales of shipwrecks, the way that Luke writes this and the way he defines it, it is one of the most accurate, one of the most descriptive of all shipwrecks that have ever been recorded since man has been writing down records. I thought that was so amazing whenever I read that. But then I thought, it's no wonder, since the author of language is the one who inspired him to write it. So here is this man in such a dilemma, but he has the ability by the Spirit of God to write down such things. No doubt for our benefit, and I'm sure others down through the ages. Lord, no matter where we find ourselves tonight, maybe some find themselves in a terrible, terrible Euroclodon. They just come from a doctor's office last week, or they came from some type of situation on their job and they were handed a notice, or they found out that the child has got this or that or the other, sickness in their body, or a child or a husband is doing something they found out was terribly, terribly wrong, and they feel devastated. Maybe their little ship is so tossed and so beat about. It seems to go with it, Lord, that when great trials come our way, that we get sick in a sense and we don't eat properly. Each day we're getting weaker and weaker. Oh, if we would only hear the men of God. If we would only hear they're not trying to rebuke us and chide us when they tell us to read our Bibles. They're not trying to be mean to us when they encourage us to listen to tapes and come to church. They're telling us that for our health. But true to form, these guys had barely eaten, barely enough to stay alive. And Paul said, before we face this final phase, we need to sit down and eat. We need to have a good time of fellowship. And then we're going to unload the ship and we're going to crash. Oh my. How odd your ways seem at times. You could have supernaturally come and give that boat a soft, easy landing, and they could have all walked off. But that wasn't your way. How many times have we prayed and prayed and prayed for a delicate answer, a soft ending to a dilemma in our lives? But instead of you giving us a soft answer and a soft ending, you fed us with a great meal, and we lightened the ship, and we crashed into Malta. Lord Jesus, help us. We know your providential wisdom is always right and perfect. Help us, Lord, when we have these crashes in life, even when we don't understand, to trust you, to love you, and know that your ways are perfect. Praise God. With every head bowed, not just in the visible audience, but those that will be streaming the service, wherever you are in your home or your business or work, God knows what you're going through and where you are. You'd like to be remembered before the Lord tonight. Would you just raise your hand up to the King of Kings? He's mindful of you. You know as well as I do that there's been many times he's kept you out of these storms, but many more times he's kept you through them. And you're looking around for the supernatural. You say, well, I had to pray and I had to do this and I had to do that and I had to do that. The supernatural seems almost invisible in this situation. We catch little glimpses of divine intervention. It's almost like God veiled himself through the means of humanity. But surely we agree that it was God that did it through them, giving them the ability. Would you like prayer tonight? Just all of us, would you just raise your hand to God? Amen. Would you do me a favor? Several hundred people here tonight. I can't go through and pray for all of you. Would you lay your hand on one another if you wouldn't mind? Brothers, if there's a sister standing by and you feel uncomfortable doing that, just move around and find a brother or sisters likewise. Maybe that individual that you laid your hand on tonight, they come to church with such a burden. Depression, sickness in their body, weakness, whatever more. And true to form, they're not eating like they should. They're not praying, they're not reading their Bible. And they're despondent, they don't know what to do. But maybe through your prayer of faith, God will help them tonight. Maybe they thought, after tonight, there's no need for me to even try. But it might be your prayer of faith that'll help bring deliverance to that brother or sister. Let's pray for them, shall we? Father, we believe the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord Jesus, we lay our hands one upon the other. Father, I pray for the musicians here on the platform, the brothers back in the sound booth, the brothers upstairs, the sisters in the nursery. I pray for the streamers tonight, Lord. Those that would love to be here because of distance or sickness in the body or whatever more, they cannot. Heavenly Father, I believe your hand can move, dear God, in Ontario, Canada. I believe, Lord, that you can move down in Georgia. You can move, Lord, over New Zealand, down in Australia, all over the parts of Africa, wherever more around the world. Lord Jesus, may your mighty hand move. Oh, Heavenly Father, many of your little children going through a great Euroclodon, as it was called here in the book of Acts, a great tempest in their life. Maybe it's a sickness in their body, a disease, and the doctor says it's terminal. The doctor says there's no hope. They're facing a dilemma with their children or their husband, or, Lord, some domestic situation. Maybe it's a church problem, Father. Maybe it's a minister that's listening tonight. Lord, you know, we believe you're mindful of your children, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight for them, Lord God. We join our faith around the world together, Lord, as your children. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, for we are a body move. Lord, we're all baptized into that wonderful body of Christ. We pray for our brothers and sisters globally that you'd strengthen them, Father. Lord Jesus, may the hand of God move for your people. For those that have become discouraged and they're not eating right, Lord, may you help them, Lord, to be able to sit down and eat a good meal and get the strength that they need for their spiritual health, Father. Hallelujah! One of these days, Lord, we're going to sit down and hear a good sermon, the last sermon we'll ever hear in our life. It will be the last one we will ever need. It will top off 40 years of God dealing in our lives. Glory to God. It will top off 50 years of God dealing with us. And we've heard thousands and thousands of sermons. And yet that one will finish us off. Amen. And we'll need preaching no more. We'll need faith no more. We'll need, oh God, to assemble ourselves and have prayer meetings and all that no more. Amen. We will lighten the ship and walk into eternity. But until that time arrives, Father, I pray you would help us. Lord God, even though we might get sick on these seas of life, help us, dear God, to keep on feeding on the Word. Help us, Lord, to assemble ourselves together, even in the time of great darkness when the coldness of Laodicea is all around your people. Help us to press the battle, Father. Help us, I pray, Lord, in the time of great discouragement, may we be able to bring joy to those that are around us, Father. Here, one servant of God was able, by the Holy Ghost, to change the entire atmosphere of 275 people that was not believers. They was not message followers, but a man of God with the power of dynamite living down in his soul was able to bring a transformation. Amen. Because he was a little creator. Grant it, I pray, Father. May us husbands do this in our home. May these wives do it in their children. Help us to be able to do it on the job, Lord. Oh, I realize it may not last for long. It only lasted for a bit, Father. And then we see what happened to the ship. But a miracle was displayed right there. Grant it in our lives, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, whenever we get down and we stop eating. Forgive us when we get discouraged. We stop going to church. Forgive us, God. Help us, I pray, Lord, to hang on to everything you've given us until the last stage of the journey has arrived, Lord. Then we'll lighten the ship for the last and final time. Praise God. Only this time, Lord, we're not going to crash. We're going to go sailing out of here and say, fare ye well. Fare ye well. Praise be to God. Oh, blessed Jesus. We worship you tonight, mighty God. We worship you, blessed Father. Can we raise our hands, children, in the presence of God? Oh, maybe you're so sick tonight with what you're going through and so worn out, just so weary. May the mighty God who stood by Paul that day come near you tonight and just whisper to you, I love you and you love me. I chose you before the world began. You're my child. Rise, eat. Arise and eat. Let your joy come back. Your joy of serving me. Your joy of singing. Your joy of playing music. Your joy of being a musician in the house of God. Your joy of being a deacon, of being a trustee, of being a pastor. Don't just do the service without joy, but do it with a full heart. Praise God. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. Let the joy come back into your heart. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, praise the Lord. How many feels like sometimes that joy of the Lord needs to be renewed in your heart? Boy, friends, I sure do. You minister to people and minister to them. I believe the presence of God wants to help us right here tonight. If you're weary, despondent, whatever you're going through, let the same one that was with Paul right there. Oh, but Brother Donnie, does that mean he'll deliver me out of the ship? Yeah, he'll deliver you out of the ship. But I'm not sure if you walk out or fall out. I've been really nice. If they'd parked on board, they'd put the plank out, everybody walked out. But in this situation, they didn't walk out. They're thrown out. But they were still saved, which is a greater miracle than as if though they would have individually walked out. All these people's going to be shipwrecked. As I told you, remember Josephus had a wreck in the same similar situation. The storm did not go on 14 days. Over 300 people on board the ship that Josephus was on, and many, many hundreds of the people was killed because God never appeared to Josephus, but God appeared to Paul. Amen. So you may go through it, but remember, Jesus is on board your ship. Harry, sing something. Let's worship him just a little bit before we go, can we? Oh, ain't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I put my life.
Yes. Yes, Lord. I do, Lord.
I put my life in His hand.
In His hand.
So every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan.
Amen. Praise God and sing it together.
I put my life in
His
hand.
He's got it all in control.
Sky. He holds the land back from the sea.
Yeah.
If He can do all of that, surely He can take care of you and me. And I put my life in His hand. Lord, I put my life in His hand. Every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life hand, 'cause He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. Got it all in control.
Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
He's
praise
got
the Lord.
It all,
yes, Lord, you do. Even when we don't understand, Lord, you've got it in control, Lord.
He's got
hallelujah.
It all.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again before they go. Oh, He's got it all in control.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. Every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful.
Serve the true and living God. No matter what our storms would be in life, or how high the waves would be, or how strong the wind would blow, He's got us in His hands. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, is thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to your expected end. To know that before we was ever born, He knew the color of our eyes and the color of our hair. He knew the name that we would have, and this one would come together and that one would come together, and they would marry and bring this one and that would marry to bring you on the earth to match the image that He had in His mind of you before there was ever even a star or a molecule. Think of that, friends. You know, they tell me that the Hubble telescope one time was heading out into space, and it turned around and took a series of pictures and caught a streak of light through the galaxies. And in that streak of light, they call it the pale blue dot. It was just a little speck of dust that was just caught in the images. And they said that was Earth. Out there in the vastness of space, and just a streak of light was a speck of dust. And they said it was the pale blue dot. They called it Earth. And yet when God allowed Moses to write, he says, tell them, I created the heavens. I created all the stars. I did all these great things. But make sure they understand, I created the earth also. Just that little minute thing, but it was so important. It said, tell them, I created the earth. And then when you think that in that pale blue dot, that little speck hanging out there in space, was a hill. And on that hill, the God who created the vastness of the universe became flesh and paid for our sins. For even a smaller speck of dust called you. Oh God. That's how much He loves us. What a privilege it is to serve that kind of God. To serve that kind of God. What joy it brings when we feast on these things. We've all got problems, all of us do. But when we feast on these things, then the problems just don't seem that important. When you know He's got it all in control. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. What a wonderful service. Just to be in His presence tonight, it was so real. I could almost smell the salt water in the air. How God can take His word and make it so personal, so real to us tonight. Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is, Lord, to bow in Your wonderful presence. Lord, You never said that the road would be easy. You never said, Lord, that it would always be blue skies. You never said those things, Lord. You never said that we wouldn't have no problems. You never said that we wouldn't have no heartaches. You never said that, Lord. But You just said through it all, I'll be with You. And Lord, we can testify this congregation. The storms in our life, the times, Lord, when it seemed like surely we would go down. Yet You brought us through, Lord. And we just want to thank You tonight, Lord, that we can put our trust in You. Lord, the things Brother Donnie spoke tonight, the things that are happening in the world, Lord, we see the rapid decay of our nation, Lord. And we are so glad that we're fixing to change dwelling places, Lord. I've often thought what it must have been that night, Lord, when they struck the ice on the Titanic and they knew the ship was going down. What it must have felt like them people, Lord, knowing. And then to step into a lifeboat and to be saved. Lord, when we see the world is crashing around us, the ships of the nations are sinking, Lord. We see the lifeboat, Lord, that'll take us safely to the shore. God bless You, children, tonight, Lord. Thank You so much for the opportunity to serve You, dear God. Be with each one as they travel to their homes, Lord. Father, may they rise and eat. May they take some food for the journey that lays ahead, Lord. And may our joy be in knowing that You have provided these things for us. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord. Renew his strength. Thank You for the wonderful presence we felt here among us tonight. Thank You for our visitors, Lord, that's in the house, dear God. Give them traveling grace as they make their way home. And our families also, Lord, bring us back safely the weekend as we come to worship You once again. commit these things into your hands, Lord, for your glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all. I put my life in His hands. I put my life.